Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shafe Daily Live. It is the evening hours of Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Cardinals win again out in Oakland. It's another game where the Cardinal offense only scores three runs, but it's another game where the Cardinals get sterling starting pitching. Lance Lynn was the man tonight. Seven innings, two runs allowed, only one of them earned. Only one strikeout. It's a little different, but Lance Lynn lowers that season-long ERA to 2.18 as the Cardinals are starting to stack starts on top of starts. Sonny Gray Monday, Lance Lynn Tuesday. Cardinals get the win in the series win. Could Wednesday afternoon be the first time of the season that we get to break out the sweeps aren't that hard format of a tweet that I like to send after series sweeps? And I'm equal opportunity. I'll send it if the Cardinals win in a sweep. I'll send it if they lose in a sweep. We haven't seen either of those so far this year. Cardinals will have an opportunity to take down the Oakland Athletics via sweep tomorrow if they're so inclined. We'll see if they're inclined. It's a weird start time, 2:37 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. So be a little patient. We'll have our, whether it's a live stream or whether it's just a regular old B-Shafe Daily podcast, it will be posted to the YouTube channel at some time late Wednesday. Just depending on what we've got going on at home as to when we begin that. But rest assured, it will be there. Of course, we would be remiss as well if we didn't make sure to mention tonight the passing of Whitey Herzog. A real shame. Age 92, a Cardinal legend, a baseball legend, but certainly in Cardinal Nation, fond of Whitey Herzog with great memories for those of a certain age that can recall his incredible teams of the 80s. Obviously, I don't recall that firsthand because I was born in 94. But my goodness, if I haven't heard stories from my grandpa before he passed and my father, just talking to my dad on the phone today about some different Whitey things that I didn't really even know because I wasn't around for it. But that Cardinals fans of a certain age, man, that Whitey Herzog was St. Louis Cardinals baseball, as so many of the other Cardinal legends. Unfortunately, we've seen a number of those guys pass away in recent years. But Whitey, man, a titan of the game, and get those memories of Whitey in too. If it's something that you'd like to do tonight in honor of the White Rat who passes away today at the age of 92, was able to be there at the home opener one last time a couple of weeks ago. If you were there, you might have noticed he wasn't down there on the field, but they did show him up in the suite area wherever he was seated. On the big screen, and fans got a chance to cheer for Whitey. Really sucks, but this is still an opportunity for folks to talk about the good times and the great memories. A lot of things synonymous with Cardinal fandom for a lot of people out there. Whitey Herzog represents that. You think about the style of play that his teams had with the way that they would just get after it. They would play good, clean, fundamental baseball. Defense was a priority. Base running was a huge priority. Doing the little things was a priority. And you know what? Credit to the St. Louis Cardinals tonight on the day that Whitey passes away. They had a little bit of an homage, I think, in the style of play that they had tonight, playing some largely good defense and certainly base running and doing the little things, productive outs as the Cardinals scored their three runs tonight on, you know, the sacrifice flies and ground outs, things of that nature. So the Cardinals did their due diligence tonight. They win the game 3-2. Out there in Oakland. How about this stat? Ryan Helsley has pitched in every Cardinals win this season. I'll say it again. Ryan Helsley has pitched in every Cardinals win this season. The Cardinals are back to a 500 record. They're 9-9. Can they get over the hump tomorrow afternoon? Can they get the sweep? Can they get to an above 500 record? We're going to find all of that out in due time. But appreciate you guys for being with me here tonight. Get them in the live chat. All you got to do is subscribe and you are eligible to participate. The first super chat of the night is a clever one from Brad, who says the money that he contributed with the super chat is for my HVAC bill, because I did send a tweet out just a little bit ago and you probably saw it. Look, not everything's baseball on my timeline. you never know what you're going to get. In fact, earlier tonight, I was out there in Jefferson City with my co-host of The Big Show in on KTGR in Columbia, Andy Humphrey. We were interviewing Dennis Gates. We were interviewing Eli Drinkwitz, Johnny Walker Jr., stud defensive player for the Missouri Tigers. All that was going on. Stay tuned to The Big Show the rest of the week, by the way, if you want to hear the Gates interview, or pardon me, the Drinkwitz interview and the Johnny Walker interview. We actually got a chance to air live with Dennis Gates this afternoon and Brian Smith, the Mizzou wrestling coach, who's basically the Nick Saban of the wrestling world with what Brian Smith has been able to do at Mizzou all these great years. But that being said, sometimes I talk about some different things besides Mizzou sports, Cardinals baseball. Sometimes I'm talking about air conditioning. That's right, because I put it out on my Twitter timeline and I said, my wife tonight told me, and this is a true story, I'm not making this up. She told me we're keeping the house at 73 degrees this summer instead of 74. Last summer, I think we did 74. We talked about it. She said, nope, not doing it. We're going 73. We're breaking the bank. We're going all in. And I told her we might have to declare bankruptcy. It was a joke, Brad, but I do appreciate the super chat. And then I'm curious, too, what temperature do y'all keep your place in the summer? And am I out of line for sticking it at around 73? I think that's actually a fair compromise, but I'm not sure what other people will think about that. But thank you, Brad, for the super chat and the clever note attached to it. Okay, I am going to take a sip and just jump right into the comments because I don't want to miss any of your guys' comments tonight. Try to keep it a tight show, but let's get into some Cardinals talk. We know Lance Lynn was great. We know the offense still left a little bit to be desired. Paul Goldschmidt certainly is kind of going through it still. Make sure, though, to put a like on this video if you haven't done it just yet. Allison is the winner tonight with the first comment. That's a winner. Love these fast West Coast games. That's true. If you're going to start a game at 8:40, you darn well better finish it in about, 2:30, 2:40. What do they end up with on the time of game tonight? 2:29. That is, you know what? For all the things you may say about Rob Manfred, I will say I'm not so bad with the old pitch clock at this point in time. Joe said Lizard Schaefer living in the terrarium out there, 74 degrees. That's funny. That's good. Folks, I tell you what, it costs money to cool the house. And when you look at the, what is it, Ameren? I forget. When you look at that electric bill some months, you notice it's a little more in July and August than it is in some of the other months. And that'll sometimes curb your behavior. But I think my thing is going to be I'll just turn off all the lights around the house and we can keep it a little bit cooler inside. I think that'll be a good compromise this summer. let's hear it for Lance. That's Mike. Way to keep him in the game just for tonight. I'm going to ignore that he gave up another home run. How about that home run, too? A couple of things happened on that home run. One, it was hit a mile high to where I thought it might have been a pop-up to the second baseman. It wasn't. Left the yard. Number two, Jordan Walker was going back on it. If you were watching on Bally, there was some floating advertisements there on the wall. And for a moment there, Jordan Walker completely disappeared. I was afraid. Where did he go? I couldn't find him. I couldn't find the baseball either. It went over the wall. Solo home run. Again, skyscraper. It is what it is. Lance Lynn's going to give up some home runs from time to time. The Cardinal rotation as a whole is going to give up some home runs from time to time. But the thing is, you can kind of live with the solo jobs, can't you? As long as you buckle down when you do let guys on base, that's a way that they can live and get away with it. The other run that was scored, I believe, was on the Mason Wynn throwing error where he tried to make a sensational play, ended up throwing it into the camera well, which allowed the runner, or the batter rather, to advance to second base, and he later scored on a single, and then the next batter made it out, so that's why it was an unearned run. Wouldn't have been scored if not for the error. Lance Lynn pitched really well. Pretty efficient, too, to get through seven innings the way that he did. How can you find a way to be efficient? Well, you don't strike anybody out. Only struck out one. But he only walked one as well, and it was on a full count pitch that I thought maybe was, the umpire could have given it to him if he was so inclined. Lance Lynn's efficiency was something to be really excited about tonight. And I said it, I forget which show because I do too many of them. Hot Take Central, Low Hanging Fruit, The Big Show, B-Shape Daily, the live streams. I forget when I said it. But the notion of sort of why didn't the Cardinals get a number two that was comparable to Sonny Gray where they could really have a 1A, 1B? Well, I understand the concern. I will say, and I have said, what if Lance Lynn is that guy, right? I said before the season, for me, he's probably my number two, even over Miles Michaelis, and so far the numbers are bearing that out. I'm not saying Lance Lynn's going to have a 2.18 ERA, but what I will say is that currently Lance Lynn has a 2.18 ERA. He has pitched really, really, really well. And we haven't really seen him unleash what he's capable of doing on a larger extent just yet because you had the rain delay the first time he pitched. It was a downpour. The second time he pitched, he was going shorter in games. He had the home opener game where he gave up the home runs, and that chased him in the fifth inning. Lance Lynn is just kind of getting warmed up, and I feel like He could be a legit number two in a playoff rotation. Is he going to be? I don't know. I'm just saying that's within his range of outcomes. We don't want to get carried away from the early going. But don't you like what you're seeing from Lance Lynn? And can you give, may make you uncomfortable, but a little bit of flowers to John Mozeliak for going, you know what, identifying that at this point in his career, Lance Lynn still had something to give. I think that's already been proven true. Even if Lance Lynn begins to struggle at some point later on in this season, I think the idea that he's got something left to give to this game and to a rotation that's looking to contend, I still think that's already something that you can mark in the yes column, as Lance Lynn has looked really, really good. Jumping to Travis because he's jumped in on the Super Chat. Happy my algorithm led me to your page as a night shift worker loving the late night recaps. Final note, Travis, you did Super Chat me, so I do have to read it, but he said I-L-L. You can't spell Illini without two L's. I get it, though. They got the better of my Mizzou Tigers this past year in basketball. Can't wait till that football series resumes, though, big boy, because I think we'll take you. But, Travis, appreciate the Super Chat, my friend. And thanks for watching Late Night. We love these Late Night Lives. And if y'all didn't watch them, I would just go to bed. I wouldn't be doing them. Trevor said the offense is down bad. They have to get this figured out, like, tomorrow. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? They're facing Paul Blackburn tomorrow. Steven Matz on the mound. 2:37 p.m. Central is going to be first pitch. Paul Blackburn, so far this season, though, I will say this, Trevor, looks like the kind of guy that might eat the Cardinals up. Three games pitched. He has not given up an earned run. And it's not that he's striking everybody out. He's pitching to some effective contact. 19 and a third innings and 11 strikeouts on the season for Blackburn. The whip is 0.72. So he's letting his defense work. He's letting the soft contact, I would imagine, do its job. That could be a little bit dangerous for a Cardinals team that has at times gotten overly aggressive. And I get it. You want to be aggressive, but you also want to just be aggressive on the pitches that you can do damage with. I feel like the Cardinals sometimes are content, not that they're content to do it because they're not loving that it's happening, but they're making contact and it's not always particularly loud or damaging contact. And it seems as though the type of pitcher that Paul Blackburn is the type that's going to bait you into exactly that. So can the Cardinals try to find a way to rise above it on Wednesday afternoon? We'll see what kind of lineup ends up getting put out by Ole Marmol. It was good to see Brendan Donovan back in the lineup tonight, despite getting hit in the back of the knee or the outside of the knee, rather, in the game on Monday. Is there going to be a day off for him at some point, day game after a night game? We saw both catchers in the lineup tonight. Will one of them get the afternoon off tomorrow? How will Ole Marmol sort of align that? We'll have to wait and see. But yes, Trevor, you're 100% right. The offense getting going would be huge for this Cardinals team because they're getting the pitching. They're getting the pitching that they need to be able to succeed.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
They're doing all of this to get to a 9-9 record because the offense is still at a spot where it is below average and it's toward the bottom end of the league in terms of production. I'm sure I can find the numbers here real quick for you. They came into the game, I want to say it was 23rd in OPS on the season across MLB. And at this point, I don't know that they did a whole lot of favors for themselves tonight. We'll see if I can get that to sort out here momentarily. Cardinals coming in, they're now 23rd, tied for 23rd, according to the updated numbers. I think MLB updates them live. 657 is the team OPS. And if we take a look at runs scored, as the Cardinals, man, they love scoring three runs. But look at the number of games they've scored three and one this year. I don't know how sustainable that's going to be. Glad you're taking advantage of it while you can. Cardinals are at 67 runs scored, which is 23rd in baseball. So, yeah, that's kind of the offense that they have been. And there are a number of reasons for that. But I don't think it's sustainable for this team to maintain contention for 6 months if they're going to be the 23rd best offense in baseball. Brendan, what's going on? He says, well, I'm sure you're exhausted. Love being able to throw these on while I lay down to go to bed. Series win. Hope the sweeps aren't that hard. Just play the blank. Tweet tomorrow comes to fruition. There is a chance for the sweeps aren't that hard. Tweet. They are fun. I like that people have gotten excited about those over the year. Over the years, I should say. I think it started with Ryan, Twitter man Ryan, who I went back and forth with, and then I just started doing that every time the Cardinals would get a sweep, and then, alas, when they're swept themselves, that ends up being the tweet that gets sent out. I'm at BSchaefer12, by the way. I've been trying to kind of get more people to learn about the YouTube and to learn about my podcast Daily Cardinals podcast on Spotify. And so when I've been getting new Twitter followers the last few days, I send them a little DM and say, hey, here's the YouTube. If you're not familiar, I appreciate your follow. Check out the podcast if you're interested. And a lot of folks are already going, yeah, I already watch you every day. I'm like, oh, okay. But they just found me on Twitter. So if you are in that boat where you follow me on YouTube but not Twitter, it's at BSchaefer12 on the Twitter tweets. Just a quick shout out to that. Allison says Lance Lynn having another great start. Love that he was able to go seven innings. Helps with the bullpen. It does help with the bullpen because then you get a JoJo Romero who's rested, ready to go. He's looking fantastic still. 1.86 ERA. Scoreless inning tonight. A good little fist pump when he ended the eighth. Ryan Helsley, seven saves. I've been telling you. I'll tell you again. He's going to have a great season. He's having a great season. And tonight, he didn't look like he had his best stuff. I will say, a little bit erratic with the command at times, but it didn't matter. He didn't walk anybody, didn't allow a hit. He strikes a guy out and ends up getting the save. Seventh of the season, Helsley has pitched in every Cardinals win. I don't know that that's going to be maintainable for the entire season, and you probably should hope that it's not, because if the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs, they probably need, I don't know, 84, 85, maybe more wins. And I don't think Ryan Helsley's going to pitch 85 times this regular season. But for now, it is an interesting stat, and he's been absolutely nails for basically every game that he's pitched this season. And the one that they lost, I'll say that there was some extenuating circumstances on that, and I really don't even blame him. It was, I think, the Alec Boehm hit over the third base bag that just happens sometimes. Put a good piece of swing on it, and that's not even a phrase, good piece of swing, but you know what I mean. Mike says he went 7 and got the win. Should I check for flying pigs? You can check under your mattress, check out your windows, just make sure that you're safe out there, folks. Grand Slam Scott, he says, another three runs only. Need to start putting games to bed so we don't have to rely on pitching so nervously. Yeah, that's another thing that's impressive about what the bullpen is doing, because they're pitching in a lot of situations where it's tight. The scores are tight. It's tight because the offense hasn't really done its legwork to be able to get those games out of reach. Like, how many of these saves for Helsley have been the three-run lead kind? I know a couple of them have been, but not a ton. And lately we're seeing some of those that you're just kind of riding the rail. Certainly was the case tonight. Let me check this out. I'm just going to go back for a number of days, as many days as it compels me to do. Cardinals scored three runs tonight, three yesterday, zero on Sunday, two on Saturday. Yes, they scored nine back on Friday. That was fun. They scored three in the finale against the Phillies, three in every game against the Phillies. So that's what, seven of three or fewer in the last eight games? Am I counting that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Seven of the last eight. Actually, eight of the last nine, because they scored only three in the Kyle Gibson game against the Marlins back at Busch on that series finale. Eight of the last nine, they scored three or fewer runs. Nine of the last 10, if you extend it previously to the Saturday against Miami. They scored eight in the home opener. So what's that? 9 of 11? I know this is math and it's not that fun. Series finale against the Padres only scored three. So you're looking at 10 of the last 12, three or fewer runs scored. And the fact that the Cardinals have won, what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in that time? It's unbelievable. The pitching that they've gotten so far is more than anybody could have asked for. It's going to be time soon for the offense to carry its weight. And then if it happens, even if the pitching takes a bit of a step back, you're going to see a competitive team. I know I get comments every day on YouTube. These guys stink. This team sucks. Whatever, blah, 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 blah. I get it. You're frustrated. Last year sucked. It really did. But I don't think this team is quite the same as last year. That's not me saying they're going to win the World Series. That's not me saying they're even going to make the playoffs. But, I mean, they're competing in a different way than last year's team. I think we've seen enough right now to know that. But is that enough to make the playoffs? It might not be. How could it become enough? The offense starting to do its part. They're getting away with it right now, but they're not going to get away with it forever. And if they do, it'll be a damn shame, because they could go 82-80 with a really, really good pitching staff if this is the team that we're going to see all year long, and that just isn't the way it was supposed to be. If this pitching staff is going to pitch as good as it is right now with guys like Lynn and Sonny Gray and the bullpen doing its job in particular, I know Gibson, I know Michaelis, those guys are going to have to come around. But, and I mean, Steven Matz, I saw a stat where, and he'll pitch tomorrow, so maybe this won't end up being the case for very, very much longer, but Steven Matz has like the best ERA in baseball since a certain point in last summer, which is just, I mean, maybe not something that people would expect or necessarily anticipate with the way they feel mentally about Steven Matz, but Steven Matz has done a really solid job as well. The Cardinals are getting the pitching that should have them in a much better win-loss record. It's the offense right now that hasn't done its part, but because they're getting away with it, maybe that gives the offense a little bit of time to sort of settle in and then recognize that, hey, they're going to have to do their part too, and maybe that can coalesce a little bit in the days to come. We'll see. Gabe wants to know the betting odds for the offense to score three runs. Well done, Lance. Yeah, we just went through it, man. They score three more often than they don't score three, that's for sure. Seven saves for Helsley. Allison, you're right on. A great start to the season. And a series win at Oakland should keep the panic spreaders at bay for the time being. That's from Travis. No, those who are truly panicking or who kind of just like to just be upset about things, they'll say it was Oakland, it was the A's, it doesn't matter. You know that's the way it'll go. That's okay, though. Mike says, see you, hear you. Helsley again. Brian, what's good? Yeah, we're just getting all the what's good comments. I appreciate y'all. I shouted y'all before the start of the B-Shape Daily portion of the podcast, so you heard me. Chan the Man, what's up? Brendan, is there a universe in which the Cardinals are willing to spend Edwin Diaz-type money to keep Helsley as their closer? It's a good question. Let's take a look at the Edwin Diaz contract. 5 years, 102 for Diaz, man. I hate to say that there's not, but no, I don't think there is a world in which they'll sign a reliever for 100 milli. The only exception would be like if they went on a World Series run and he was just the most prolific, incredible reliever in baseball and everybody knew it. Maybe then they would say, yeah, the fan sentiment is so high, we're gonna get a little nuts and, you know, build this guy the statue. Like if he went on a Jordan Binnington type run and they were able to win the World Series because of it, Jordan Binnington got that contract after the Cup run. That's sort of what it would take. And like Binnington's still a very good player. I don't know that whether Blues fans would say his contract has totally worked out or not. Not really here to talk about the Blues, but that's sort of what it would take. And even then, $100 million, probably not. But Ryan Helsley is deserving of, like, look, I would start trying to talk extension with Ryan Helsley now. I get why they might not, because it is a reliever and pitchers are fickle. And you know, you're probably asking for trouble to guarantee a guy a bunch of money if he's a relief pitcher, because tomorrow could be a different story. But I'm pretty confident in where Helsley is right now. And I can understand why Cardinals fans would be too. KPM says, the Cardinals ever going to score more than three runs in a game? I don't know. I think they will eventually. But will they ever do it twice in a row? Will they ever do it three times in a row? It's not about will they ever score eight or nine, because we know they can do that. I would rather see them go 4-5-4-5-6 in a week span than to go 9-9-2-3-0-2. It's the number of times that they don't. And I get that that's a hard thing to quantify. And I've talked with different people on Twitter, just kind of shooting the breeze about, you know, they're into data and they're saying, look, like it's not a way to measure offense to just say, can they be consistently scoring four? Like, that's just not a realistic way to do it. Whether that's true or not, I think it is the way the Cardinals almost built their team to rely upon an offense that can get you at least four or five per game and to not fall below that three number as often or even fall below the number four kind of as often as they have so far. To me, that is something that matters for this team, particularly because of the way that they're built on the pitching staff, which to the credit of the pitching staff, it's outperformed, I think, most people's expectations. But if it ever does kind of level out a little bit, that's where you might say, well, shoot, now we don't have the offense to really support what we kind of expected the pitching to be. That's where the line is going to be, I think. And at some point, the Cardinals could experience that. Mike says, I like Marlowe. Charlie Marlowe, he'll be on Hot Take Central, I think, for a period of time tomorrow morning between 7 and 10 a.m. on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. That's 590 a.m. if you're living in St. Louis, or you could just go to the website, stream it live. Cam Jansen, I'll be there. Cole Bartemus will be there. Charlie will be there later on in the show, I believe, where I can then chirp him about, you know, not doing our low-hanging fruit podcast as often as I want to. It's all in fun. Don't actually be mad at Charlie, but it'll be fun to finally do Hot Take Central with him, because normally I'm in there on Fridays and I'm basically taking his place in that he's kind of doing fewer shows nowadays. So to be able to be in there with him tomorrow will be a lot of fun. So you can look forward to that if you like the banter between me and Charlie. Who would your two and three be in a playoff series? That's what PJ wants to know. Thinking Lynn is the two and Matz is the three. Yeah, Lynn would be my two as of right now. I like the idea of Matz as a three, because when you get into the third spot, you're already kind of thinking bullpen game in some cases. And so get Matz, you know, a time or two through the order, and then you can start to go to the bullpen. That's usually when he's at his best in those first four or five innings anyway. So that's not a terrible call. Right now, I just don't think Michaelis has enough swing and miss, and the same with Gibby, for me to think that that would be the order of operations there. So, yeah, it's almost like a bullpen game, game three, and that's in a five-game series. If you get into a seven-game series, I would use Michaelis a little bit earlier because he could surprise you potentially, and it's just you're going to have to get some innings out of somebody in a longer series with the way they structure the off days, et cetera. Allison asked if there's any security guy issues. Wasn't watching. She was listening on the radio. Not that I could tell from today, but it was funny that Jim the Cat Hayes, who's out there in Oakland for this series covering it for Bally's, he put out a couple of tweets today that I thought were funny. The first one, I'm going to find this for you guys here. The first one was referencing a nickname that the security guard out there in Oakland gets. I'll read this directly from Cat's Twitter timeline. Quote, "Some of the local folks tell me that the guard that Ollie redirected is known as In the Way Ray." That's his nickname, In the Way Ray. He gets in folks' camera shots pretty often and unintentionally. True story. And then Willis replied to the Cat with a video of this guy, In the Way Ray, that had the dust up with Ollie last night. Earlier in the game from yesterday evening, was in the way as Matt Carpenter was trying to walk by, and he basically backs up just unknowingly. He's standing on the rail, and then he backs up for no apparent reason and almost takes out Matt Carpenter. It was unbelievable. They kind of brushed shoulders, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but he kind of goes, "Oh, sorry, bumped you, didn't mean to." Trying to extend the IL stint for Matt Carpenter. Probably hurt his other oblique because of that. I can't believe it, Ray. But yeah, that is hysterical because it does seem like this guy just tends to like not have a major awareness of his body in space and like where he's operating, which is kind of a curious trait for a security guard for an MLB team. Anyway, he seems like a nice enough guy, but it has definitely been a funny kind of side quest during this series. There's no doubt about that. Hit that subscribe button in the lower right corner of the screen. Let's get 10 more likes. We can get this thing to 50. I'm sure we can do it as we approach the 30-minute mark of the stream. Let's go ahead and get back into the comments so I can roll through these for you guys. Josh wants to know if there's any pre-arb or in-arb year guys that I think the Cardinals would look at extending this season / offseason. Brandon Donovan would be one that wouldn't shock me, but it may be that the Cardinals have sort of decided to shy away from that type of roster management. And especially because right now it's going to depend on the season and the way the team is playing and whether or not they feel like they're going to commit to some of the other guys like Goldie, like not trading Arenado. Like if they're going to continue to be a competitive team and go for it each and every year, they don't have a step back this year. They stay in the mix competitively. You know, that could be a different situation than if they have to take a step back and maybe they're not looking as much at extending and building out the core. Elsewhere, I think Donovan's one that you can trust that he is what he is and is an important cog in this machine. Elsewhere, it's like, yeah, a guy like Jordan Walker could if he hits consistently. We haven't seen that yet. Lars Nootbaar is another one that's going to be interesting really soon, too. Depending on the type of year he has, I could very much see a Nootbaar extension by spring training next year. So I'll say Donovan and Nootbaar are the two leading candidates in my mind. But nothing is guaranteed because we haven't really seen that type of move from the Cardinals in as recently as we used to with Alan Craigs and Colton Wongs and DeYoung. And a lot of guys got those deals. And maybe the Cardinals are shying away a little bit more from that in more recent years. B. Burke said, "Let's get the sweep tomorrow. Don't be satisfied with just a series win." Yeah, this would be a great opportunity. Get above 500 for sure. Josh said, "Lance doing exactly what he was brought to do. 7 innings, 1 earned run. You love to see that." Jared says, "Hey, a win is a win." That's all he's got to say, which is a reasonable thing. The Grave of Einstein says, "Oakland was making contact with everything. Only allowed 1K for Lance, but his stuff was good today." So that's honestly just that's good on Oakland. Yeah, I mean, that's really all you got to do. You don't have to get a bunch of strikeouts, but if Oakland's putting the ball in play on you and your stuff is good enough that they're not barreling it up, and sometimes they do barrel it up or they have a good hit and your defense takes it away. That's what Victor did. His first play of the game, diving and making that play in shallow center, had to put Victor on the thumbnail today for that play. That was a nice one. Goldie Arenado Walker on pace for 18 homers combined. That's GB. That's a WTF, he says. Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. And I've maintained that I don't think the Cardinals can win that way. If Goldie has 7 homers this year and Arenado ends up with 9 and Walker ends up with 6, you know, they're not going to win. They're not going to finish above 500 with that. They need those guys to be more productive. Could there be a world in which Ivan Herrera hits 25 and that makes up for some of it? Sure, I guess. But I just don't know that you're going to get enough of that surprise production from elsewhere in the order. And then by the time you're late in the season, if that's the way Goldie is still producing, he will have to move down in the order eventually. Is Paul Goldschmidt going to be this bad all year? I'm still going to maintain no. I'm going to go down with the ship on that. But I think it is time to acknowledge that Paul Goldschmidt may not be the MVP candidate that he was 2 years ago ever again. He may not be even the guy that he was last year, which by all accounts was disappointing to only have an 810 OPS. He might be an 800 OPS. He might be a 780 OPS. And if that ends up being the case, the Cardinals are going to have a different thought process about whether or not they want to extend him in the offseason. Chan says, are we going to get some draft coverage this year with the Cardinals drafting unusually high? We'll talk about the draft for sure as it gets closer. I think it's over the All-Star break. So there's some different things that'll be going on. We'll talk all sorts of things, Chandler, on the YouTube channel, but it's a little bit early, I think, right now to get too deep into it. But I know that there are Cardinals fans out there closely watching what the collegiate players are doing because the Cardinals are going to get a good one. They're definitely in that mixture for some of the premier talent, which is unusual compared to where they usually finish. Clay asked if I caught the chirp on the broadcast. At least one security guard knows how to get out of the way. That's funny. I don't know who said that. Was it Chip? Chip or Brad? That is pretty funny. Grand Slam Scotty laughing at Brad, who gave me the super chat, making fun of my air conditioning tweet. I don't know, 73 degrees during the summer. I don't think that's too crazy. We'll go Ian here. He said another good 3-run win. I'll take it. Atmosphere in the ballpark was even quieter tonight. Cannot imagine what tomorrow's day game will be like. Yeah, I want to find the tweet from Mike Claiborne because he tweeted out the attendance. And he also tweeted out a video where he said, if you want to guess the attendance, you could just instead count. It'll probably only take you maybe the third inning, if not sooner. And he took a video of the ballpark. And yeah, the attendance ended up being 3,296 as the attendance. And I assume they're announcing like the tickets sold, which is like the Cardinals will announce 32,000. But then you can look and go, yeah, there's really more like 20,000 here. They announced 3,200. It might have even been less than that in the actual building, unless they're counting the turnstiles now because they've got nothing to hide because they're actually incentivized. Think about this. I mean, this is an angle that you probably got to consider. Oakland is incentivized almost to say, look how bad our attendance is, because that way they can justify moving. The Cardinals are obviously going to announce tickets sold because they want it to look like the fan support is still great, which it is. Those tickets are sold to somebody. If the butts aren't in the seats, it looks a little bit different in the ballpark. But it might be a little bit of a different thing that Oakland's trying to run there by saying, look how few people are here. Look how embarrassing this is. We should be allowed to move the team, which, you know, is a whole different thing that we can get into or not. But Trevor thinks I can afford 72 degrees now that Brad gave me the super chat. That's funny. Steven says, Lance Lynn, after all the criticism, shows he's a number two stud. Hopefully, Mats will pitch like a number two as well. And the offense is a concern, but Steven is going to enjoy the victory, which I think is a good way to approach life. You know, enjoy the wins that you get in life. B. Burke says, the most shocking thing I saw is how insanely high Brendan keeps his home's temperature at. Is 73 really that bad? I saw some people saying 76, so at least I'm not like those guys. Einstein, I like seeing all the runs scored on outs. Cards really struggled on manufacturing runs last year. Plus, a good tribute to Whitey. Yeah, they scored on, a ground ball, ground out, and then you had the bases loaded with nobody out, and they still managed to score a couple of runs in that inning thanks to sacrifice flies. So, ended up being pretty good. And the fact that they were down 2-1 after the homer, and then you score those runs on sacrifice flies to take the lead and win the game that way, this was a really, really solid game where the Cardinals squeezed every little bit of offense they could out of it. Ideally, you hit some dingers and it's not that much of a trying circumstance, but a win is a win. And Allison says a win for Whitey. Favorite memory of Whitey. Yeah, I don't really have a ton of memories, like I said, of watching, you know, Whitey manage teams because I was not here for that. However, I'll share the one that I shared on the radio today, which is a silly one. But again, just kind of get a sense for what my level of interaction. I just didn't have much, but he was around the ballpark and you'd see him around for sure in recent years. But there was a really funny one a couple of years ago, and I tweeted out the photo at some point. I tried to look it up today and couldn't find it on my Google Photos. But going in the VIP media lobby, sometimes there are VIPs that are there, sometimes it's just the media, and you go up the elevator to the press box. And Whitey would be sitting down there oftentimes if he was at the ballpark pregame, just kind of hanging out in the AC. and there were couches down there. And I was going up the press box elevator. Elevator was open. I was already in there. And right in front of Whitey Herzog crosses, it was Star Wars night. And so there were multiple stormtroopers, I think like a Jedi, like a Darth Vader guy, full costume, like helmets and everything, walking in front of Whitey. I think there was like a Wookiee or something. It was a whole thing. And I'm just like watching this unfold. And just Whitey is, you know, looking at this going, he didn't say anything. But to me, that was just like, this is hilarious. And so I snapped a quick picture of Whitey sitting there in the background, and I'm in the elevator with these Star Wars characters. And I'm like, that's one of those that nobody would ever possibly believe unless you were able to document it. So I had to document it just in case I ever decided to show it. So that's not what you were asking for, Allison. That's absolutely not the type of memory that you were looking for. But, you know, folks of my dad's generation certainly have the memories. My dad was asking me today, do you know about when he grabbed Gary Templeton and basically threw him down the stairs because he didn't like the way he was acting toward fans? I said, honestly, that sounds vaguely familiar, but I'd have to look it up. I'd have to go read about it. And that's the kind of stuff that Whitey did things his own way. He did it his own way. He built that 1980s roster his own way by making a bunch of trades. Some of those trades I imagine weren't popular at the time, but they obviously ended up working out. And he went and got the guys that he believed could play his style of baseball in St. Louis. And he definitely did. Yeah, somebody shouted out my hat. I will say, happy dad. They're not a sponsor of the program. I would love for them to be if they want to give me some money. But I got the hat. My aunt gave it to me for free, and I think it's cool. And I'm a dad, and I'm happy. So I wear the hat. But yeah, it is kind of fun. You see those on the podcasters all the time. And it's like, oh, man, he must be getting a bag of money. I'm not. I'm giving them the free advertising for today, I suppose. Give me 1 second because I got to sneeze. Live radio, folks. Okay. We're 40 minutes in, and I haven't stopped talking. Let's see. Drew says that Lynn was great. Brad says Lynn looks like two things. He DGAF, which we know what that means. Number two, Cy Young or bust. Yeah, he's playing well. He's pitching well. He's not striking out a bunch of guys, so that'll hurt him in the Cy Young voting. But Cardinals don't care. He's giving them exactly what they signed up for. We're making fun of 74 again. Somebody said 65 degrees in the summer. Must be nice, Rhino. Must be nice. You got that big bag. Arena, welcome into the stream. Win with another throwing error after making an amazing defensive play. Would you like to see him continue to try to make that play because he possibly could, or hold on to the ball a little bit more? I like that question, Rena. And honestly, I'm cool with Mason Wynn trying to make the play. I think the more times he tries to make it, the more he'll know in a given moment whether next time it's a good play to try or whether he can learn from the failure of the last time. I think because he's 22 and he possesses the ability to eventually get those down to where he can make it happen consistently, I'm okay with it, but it's also a score and time situation. That was earlier in the game, and obviously the Cardinals hadn't scored a bunch of runs, so you feel even better about it if they had, and you had a big lead. But when it's early enough in the game, I don't mind it. I think that's something that can energize the team if it goes well, and if it doesn't, you know, you almost got out of it. Lance Lynn ended up getting the outs he needed. He was one out short before giving up the base hit that scored the run from second. I think in that moment, there's nobody else on base, so it's not like you're compounding an issue. I love that question, Rena. I think I'm okay with it, but I think by doing it more and more, he's eventually going to learn, hey, this might actually be a time to pocket the ball. For now, though, I think I would still continue to encourage it, although he's going to learn as time goes on when maybe to kind of let it go and not make the attempt at the superstar play. Joey says that Jake Paul has mauled Missouri's wrestling program. Look, so he beat, Woodley? But that's in boxing. That's a different sport. I think if Woodley were going to wrestle Jake Paul, he would win. But it's a completely different sport when you're doing MMA or boxing. Brian says divorce, 68 year-round. We're more like 68, 69 in the winter because it's a little cheaper to do it that way. But, no, I don't. 73, honestly, I don't mind it. And sometimes I prefer if it's at night and it's possible to do it, man, I just want to turn off the heating and the air completely and open the windows. But obviously in the summer, that's not as easy to do. Peter said, love the ideas of Whitey Ball, but I sort of hated that Chip and Brad forced the ideas into the broadcast. Wish they would have let them bunt, steal, et cetera, without trying so hard. You know, I don't have an issue with that, Peter. I think you gotta make sure that you're talking about Whitey today, because if you don't talk about him, people would say, well, why didn't they honor Whitey? Why didn't they talk about Whitey? So it is kind of a difficult spot to be in. But I think when it was so organic with the way that the stuff they were doing was stuff that a Whitey-managed team would do, I think it's perfectly fine to to have those sort of comments on the broadcast. And no, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought they did a nice job tonight. And, you know, I think Chip and Brad always do a great job. I understand that, you know, some people might like some things, some people might like other things, but I'm a fan of both of those guys. Brett said the Cardinals are really due for a big offensive game. Hopefully it comes tomorrow. Take the first series finale and sweep. Yeah, Cardinals have not won a series finale yet. They're 0-5 coming into tomorrow. The other part of this is the fact that they're facing the Paul Blackburn. As I talked about earlier, I'm a little bit wondering if, again, they're going to get contact off him. He hasn't had a bunch of strikeouts, only 11 and 19 and a third. However, I do think there's a world in which that doesn't work in the Cardinals' favor if the type of contact he's getting from like some eager swingers is going to cause the Cardinals to maybe have some quick at-bats and giving him some quick innings where he can get deeper into the game. That wouldn't necessarily work in their favor. Let's see who else is commenting. Jesse, we need to cook. 6 runs in 2 games against the Athletics, not good. No, the offense has struggled. They're getting away with it because their pitching has been so good, and if at some point the pitching falters, which it very well may, and it probably will, at least from time to time, then we're talking about a different team. It's not 9-9. Instead, they're maybe, you know, 7-12 or 8-11. Is that right? That's not the math. That's 19 games. Let's try that again. They're 7-11 or they're 8-10. See, I can do math on the fly. But I do think it's going to be a situation where you're going to see the pitching level out, and so by then, we're going to notice if the offense is doing its job. Because inevitably, you're not going to have Sonny Gray go all year with a 0 ERA. Is Lance Lynn going to be a 2.18? Maybe he will be, but likely he's going to have a little bit of regression. On the other side of that, though, you'd like to think that Miles Michaelis is going to regress in a positive way and that Kyle Gibson could do the same because their ERAs are inflated right now. Mike says, why do you put Oquendo in as the reliever once? Jose Oquendo was on the mound holding back the laughs. I think he said that he would make a great manager. I thought he would get the job when La Russa retired. Yeah, a lot of people did for a while think that Oquendo would get that opportunity. And I think once Matheny was hired, that maybe was sort of the end of the line where Oquendo at that point was understanding of his role. And I think he's happy with his role and still plays an important part in what the Cardinals development system looks like. But he gets to be down in Florida. He gets to not have to do the daily grind of the travel, et cetera. As he kind of gets a little bit older. So I think that ends up working out just fine. But yeah, there are a lot of folks who thought Oquendo would have made a really good manager, and I think he probably would have, but sort of the timing and the framing for him to be able to do it, that window sort of passed, and then he shifted into a different role. Alex asks, do you think if the Cardinals are in the hunt by the All-Star break, they'll get a top-line starter? It depends. Like, if Kyle Gibson has still a 6 ERA by then, they might have a different conversation and say, yeah, maybe that's a spot you can upgrade. Or if there's an injury to somebody and Zach Thompson's your 5 again, but he's not really performing, then maybe they, yes, I think that whatever the needs at the deadline are, if the Cardinals are in the hunt, I think they will actively pursue those things and really try to make a go of getting back to the playoffs because they'll understand that, all right, the fan base was restless because we weren't here. We're going to get back here if we can afford to do so. And I think they will make it a priority if they're in the hunt in July. Glad you guys are joining. We're up over 100 viewers, at least for a moment. Click subscribe on this video, lower right-hand corner of the video, and make sure that you're subscribed to the channel for all our Cardinals content throughout the season. And we're up to 51 likes. That's Willie McGee. Can we get to 60? I think we can. Peter wants to know about Josiah Gray from the Nationals, all-star out of nowhere, which, to be fair, every team has to have one all-star, and so I think that's why he was for the Nats last year. He struggled this year, but I truly think he's going to be cheap and is probably a decent 3-4. I might have some bad news for you, man, about Josiah Gray. Let me make sure I'm thinking this right. Yeah, he's got an injury going on right now. It's just a forearm for the time being. I don't think they've ruled him out for the season or anything, but that's Josiah Gray has been injured. So he's been pitching with an injury, which is probably why the numbers aren't as good. I don't know that he'll be available via trade, though. It might be a little too early on in his controllability, his years of control to be traded. Alex says JoJo has been his favorite bullpen arm. Goldie is making Korn mad. Mike says, when you're right, you're right. Lynn has earned every bit of the $12 million so far. Hope he can keep it up. He still makes me nervous. He only makes me nervous when he's not pumping strikes, when he's getting into too many 3-ball counts and he's wasting pitches. That is absolutely not what he did tonight. So you got to feel good about the way he pitched and just commanded the zone. If the Cardinals would have won second game in LA, they and the Dodgers would be 10-9. Yeah, as much as I said that, you know, if not for the great pitching in some of these low scoring games, they could be a couple games below 500, 8-10. They could be 7-11 or even worse. The flip side is true too. You give them that second game in LA, or the game in LA that went to extra innings. I think there was one in extra innings. Whatever the case was, the close one that they didn't win. You give them that one, and now I'm struggling to remember. I think the Cardinals might have won the extra inning game. It doesn't matter. There was another close one in LA. Maybe you give them that one. You give them the extra inning game against Philly. Suddenly, they're looking like one of the best teams in the league. So the margins are very slim this early in the season. But certainly, there's, again, you're in a spot now. I think the Cardinals are 9-9, Ray. So I don't think they could be 10-9 because they've only played 18 games. But I hear you. I think the sentiment is 100% true there. I think they're 9-9, aren't they? Let me double check that. We could check the standings too, MLB standings, let you guys know what's going on there. The Cardinals are 9-9. They're in last, but they're only a half game back on Cincy, who's 9-8. The Pirates have faded out a little bit. They're 11-7, but they're just percentage points behind both the Cubs and Brewers, who are 10-6. Not a single team below 500 in that NL Central. Who would have guessed it? That's where the division is as of right now, though. Pretty impressive. Cardinals are 8-6 in April with 2 weeks left of April, so they could have a winning month. Yeah, the losses came in March, didn't they? I guess that is true. Peter said, can't remember if it was me or JD that said they would be surprised if the Cards get out of April with a winning record. I don't know if they will still with the Brewers and Diamondbacks still to come. I don't think I said I would be surprised. I think I said you'd be okay with it if they're just kind of around 500 to end the month. That wouldn't be the end of the world, and I still think that way. Clay asks if there's a reason they've gotten so many catcher interference calls this year. I feel like I've never seen that call made, and the Cardinals have gotten like five of them. Honestly, that could be one of the things, and people won't like to hear this, but if there was something that the Cardinals have noticed about catchers in the league, that's something that maybe Ollie Marmol might have gone over in some meetings back in spring, and it might be just a certain example of knowing the scouting report against some catchers that, like, hey, in this situation, he likes to set up like this. Don't be afraid to let it rip and almost intentionally draw it. You're just in the path of your swing. You're not doing anything crazy. That could be something the Cardinals are trying to exploit a little bit without us really seeing it. I think just given the number of times it's happened, that's not a crazy thing that is potentially taking place. I don't know what Peter was talking about with Steven, not Whitey Ball, prime 2023 Cardinals lucky win. Today, I don't know that today was necessarily lucky. I think they did a nice job, but to each his own. Justin said the Cardinals are 8-6. Oh, we've read that one already. Yeah, I'm trying to read through, and the chat keeps jumping. Give me 1 second, guys, and we'll just take a quick breather here. It'll be like just momentary, but just give me 1 second. Okay, we're back. All right, let's continue. Sometimes I know that on the replay, too, that's probably annoying when I stop like that. That's the other reason that I end up taking the audio of these and clipping out some of the long pauses that I have, just because I know that some people might prefer it that way, but I have to rest my voice sometimes, or I get, little choked up or whatever, need a drink of water, stuff like that. So appreciate you guys for bearing with me. Einstein says that Matt's is a 1.8 ERA. Sonny is at 0. Lance is 2.18. The others are, redacted, right? We'll just use redacted anytime we don't want to say anything. Jesse says, can't wait for this offense to not improve and Mo to do nothing again at the deadline. It'll depend on their record. It really will. I think if they're in a spot where they can compete and they're in a wild card chase or better, they will do things to help the team because they know that there's urgency, or there has to be. Kenneth said the Cubs have five two-out RBIs tonight. They can't keep getting away with this, insert Aaron Paul meme. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. Did Michael Bush homer again? I know that was a thing, five in a row. At least before tonight it was. Korn says they need to sweep. Sweet Residue says 2.18 ERA for Lynn. That's pretty good. Pretty darn good. Einstein, the one time we did explode on a pitcher against Brandon Pfaadt, they still made it close. Yeah, that was a tie game, 6-6 at one point, and the Cardinals were able to. But again, 2023 Cardinals, do they score those last three runs to make it 9-6? Maybe not. Einstein says we have an issue. The team only wins when Helsley pitches, and I bet he is unavailable. Yeah, that's a good point. He probably won't be available to pitch tomorrow. day game after night game after he's pitched a couple of times. So somebody else is going to have to do it. Somebody else is going to have to step up. Reyes says the offense is easily fixed. Just have Ipe stop betting the Cardinals over three. He's really bad at the gambling thing. Yeah, I don't think where Ipe is, he's doing much gambling right now. I think they got him. I think he turned himself in. Aaron wants to know if I listened to the best podcast in baseball. Last episode had a really interesting conversation between Kevin Wheeler and Derek Gould about various ways that Jordan Walker could take his approach at the plate. Curious for my thought. I'll be honest with you, Aaron, I don't listen to it often. Sometimes when Derek tweets it out and I notice it and I've got a car ride or something, I will listen to it. It's not that I'm anti it. Derek does a great job with that podcast. And honestly, if he did the podcast more, I'd be out of business because you guys would all be right to watch or listen to Derek's instead of mine. But it's just one of those things where there's a lot going on. And so when I notice it, I do tend to listen, but I haven't heard the one with Kevin Wheeler. And sometimes in the car, I like to listen to music too. So I'm like almost like to get away from the sports talk because I do so much of it. But no, to hear other people out there doing what they're doing is definitely valuable. And Derek, of course, does an excellent job. The Grave of Einstein, excuse me, says, I will say about Blackburn, I attribute a lot of his success to changing his pitch mix, say that five times fast, this offseason, but that could just be him catching them off guard with the changes, and maybe the league adapts to that, for sure. I am compelled to see what it is tomorrow, how the Cardinals are going to, because they haven't seen him, right? They can see maybe some tape on him from the first three games, but they haven't seen him in person, and sometimes when a guy makes a change like that, and you might think one thing about him, and then you see something else when you're out there, I could see a six innings, one run from Blackburn tomorrow on like 80 pitches. You know, that's something that could end up happening. Corin says go D-backs. And Aaron says they discuss whether Jordan Walker should just accept the ground balls for a while, hit through the infield hard and hit for a high average rather than maybe worrying about the launch angle, which was the big conversation for Jordan Walker last year. Look, I think we just are probably hyper-analyzing a guy through 18 games instead of just knowing that along the way he's going to make the adjustments necessary more likely than not. And I feel like that's probably fair. But yeah, it is a conversation because he's got a low OPS and a low average, and the Cardinals are going to need him to be better in both with some power and some batting average, along with Goldie, along with the other guys that we've talked about, if they're going to get where they want to go. So it is a guy that, like, yeah, he's batting eighth or whatever right now, so you might view him as a bit of an afterthought. But I think the world in which the Cardinal offense was even better than top 10, was maybe pushing for top 5, that world involved Jordan Walker taking a huge step forward this year, and at least so far he's taken a decent sizable step backward, which is not ideal, but still time. Oh, man. The allergies or something are getting me because I keep having a hard time with the old voice, so I apologize. Corn says, awesome catch by Vic. That really was, man, to just come into the game and make that play. That was impressive for sure. Very impressive. Corn, if your AC went out of your car last week, you get that fixed because that's not fun. That's not a fun summertime thing to have happen. I have not drank the beverage on my hat yet, but I did see him at the store the last time I was there. So, but I'll endorse them. I'll endorse them if they want. Their people got to call my people, I think. I don't have people. I'm my own people. That's my other problem. I don't have people. Spencer, I think Wynn is still sort of hesitating in his approach, almost to make the throw look flashy like Edmund would dive at routine throws. I think Edmund dives because he knows he can, and it's the most effective way sometimes to get the ball in the glove, personally for me. When I was a kid playing baseball, that's how I was. I was like, I don't care how it looks. I know that if I do this, I'm going to catch it. And if people think he's doing it extra to be showy, then whatever. But I understand where Edmund comes from on some of those plays. As for Wynn, you know, it might be a hesitation on should I throw or not, or should I pocket it? And sometimes by doing that, you just hesitate that extra split second, and then that causes you to force a throw. So that's, you know, a possibility there too. But no, I think Wynn's going to be just fine. I don't want to react to anything that he does defensively because he's learning and growing, and he's going to continue to get even better. So I'm not worried about that at all. Chandler asked if I'm going to watch Mizzou Wrestling's Michael Chandler fight McGregor in a few months. I don't know. If it's a pay-per-view, probably not. I'll just be honest with you. I don't tend to pay for the pay-per-views. I'm cheap like that. You guys know I have my air conditioning at 73, and I thought it should be higher. You guys know how I am. Justin says, what do you think the Cardinals will do at the deadline? Justin, I mentioned this already, but if they're in the mix and they're above 500, they'll get the things that they need at that point in time. Here in April, it's just too early to say what they'll need, but I do believe they'll be willing to get it. They'll be willing to get it at the time if they're in the mix because they know that urgency is important. Folks are reacting to the Cubs tied with the Diamondbacks. They're going to extras again, it looks like. Diamondbacks hit one late to tie it up. Ketel Marte, solo shot. And yeah, those are the kinds of things, guys. Josh, you mentioned the Ketel Marte home run. Those are the kinds of things that we, if I ever get the PS5 and we do MLB The Show streams, we can talk about the games going on. We can talk about Cardinals. We can just shoot the breeze. Eventually, I'm hoping to do that. And for those who like watching the show streams, that's what I envision to eventually be able to add to the channel here. Everybody talking about the Cubs D-backs. I like that you guys are watching that. And I, in this room that I'm in down here, I need to kind of, I've got two TVs out in the basement, but I need to reconfigure my setup so that I can be kind of watching over the shoulder too. Obviously not in the background because I can't stream what's actually happening on MLB games. But the other part of it is I would like to know what you guys are watching with those games too. Spencer says I'm almost at 3,000 subs. If I really am close, guys, and you haven't subbed, can you please subscribe? Because getting to 3K would be really cool. In about a year, man. I started this like a year and 2 weeks ago. Goldie just struggling to trying to get on base slyly, seasoned vet. Yeah, he got a hit tonight too, though, so let's not knock him too much. Josh is ready for Middleton to return. Imagine the bullpen with another healthy stud. Is Middleton going to be a stud? But he's an experienced guy, and we see what JoJo's doing. Everybody thought, well, spring training was a little rough for him. He's been completely good, completely fine. Helsley's been great. Gio has given up some home runs. You want to see those kind of curbed on the enthusiasm there. But yeah, the bullpen is looking really good, and you still aren't at full strength without Middleton, and don't forget Riley O'Brien as well. Nolan looks back to Gold Glove form. Yeah, Nolan's going to be just fine defensively. Sure-handed as ever. Korn is agreeing with that. Korn is supporting Bischaff. I don't know what the comment there was. We're getting more comments about the D-backs game. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom and make sure that I'm going to not miss anything major. If you've commented way long ago and I didn't get to your comment because I scrolled too quick, make sure to post it again so that I can not miss you. In three more to get to 60 likes, we can get there. Josh is liking the idea of MLB The Show live streams while answering Cardinals questions. Right. I would just be doing this. I'd just be playing and you'd be seeing that instead of me. I'd still put my face in like the little lower corner like the streamers do. But it'd be mostly about just talking Cardinals and you have something interesting to look at. And you guys can tell me like what modes to play and Diamond Dynasty, or you can critique me on my online strategy, my pitching strategy, stuff like that. Mike says he's got a bail, but it was a good talk. Well, Mike, I was glad you're here, man. Thank you. Streaming on YouTube is a great thing for growing the audience. And yeah, I'm going to maybe get like a StreamYard subscription where I can go on. I don't have Twitch. I've never done Twitch. I might have done Twitch once on the show back in 2020 when COVID was going on. I had the show that year and I tried to figure out how to stream it on the PS4. And it was hit and miss, but I think I could fire it up. And who knows? Maybe I would gain a bit of a following on there. You never know. All right, we're over an hour. I said I wouldn't do that, and yet here I am once again. Korn is talking about the commercials. We're just getting into some random stuff now, which I can appreciate. Korn up in Chicagoland. I'm going to Wrigley for that August series. It's a four-gamer, but I'll be there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think is the plan. Jay Call, what do you think about taking Walker out for some games if he's still underperforming when Edmund or Carlson gets back? Well, I think by then, as much as I've enjoyed Victor Scott's defense and everything that he brings to the table, I think Victor will be the one that actually goes down. And so there will still be the lineup spot for Walker because it'll be Edmund in center field or Carlson in center field. Unless Victor really turns it on offensively, I do think he'll have a stint at Memphis this year. Jay Call also mentioning a good bullpen. Spencer kind of dogging Pallante a little bit. Look, Pallante is a utility arm in that bullpen with the way that he approaches things. They need ground balls out of him, and he can get those ground balls and still fail. I know that people don't like to hear excuses. I'm not making an excuse. I'm explaining what happens with Andre Pallante. I'm not excusing it. It's not ideal to have a high ERA and not come through, but the style of pitcher that he is sort of conducive to those swings of momentum when the fielders behind you don't make a play or a ball just kind of falls in. See you in August, Corn. Yeah, we'll make it happen. We'll have a meetup there at Wrigleyville. That's fine. Love me some Wrigleyville. Sweet Residue, the man for man is trash. At least give him two extra innings that are just regular. I agree. I think you should start the man for man, even if you just give him one. Start it in the 11th or maybe even the 12th. I would be for that. But players, here's the thing. Players love the man for man, the ghost runner, the extra man, whatever you call it, that starts automatically on second base in extra innings, because they get to go home sooner, and they play 162 of these. And it's not that they don't care who wins and loses, but it's the same rules for both teams, so it's fair, it's equitable, and they just want to get it over with. And so I think that is why the rule will never go away in the regular season. If they ever bring it to the playoffs, forget about it. That would be ridiculous. Ace said he told me what to buy for my allergies. He got one, and it's amazing. Maybe I'll check it out, dude, because I've been getting burned on the allergies thing. And I've got a 19-month-old in the house who's always sick. So I'm always, we've always, it, like a perennial runny nose at our house. So that's part of it too. Blake wants to know if I have a higher opinion of Dylan Carlson than Shannon does. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. Look, I started hashtag Everyday Dylan last year. So yes, I have a good high opinion of Dylan Carlson, whereas Shannon from Blake in my fantasy baseball league does not think so highly of DC. But it's the guys in the league, I'll tell you this, our group chat, they started a new redraft league because our league is a dynasty. I didn't join the redraft league because I'm in too many leagues and I just don't have the time to even set my lineups every day. Some days I forget and it almost cost me in the dynasty. But they started a league and I think they called it the Dylan League. They named it after Dylan Carlson. That's how much our fantasy group chat loves DC. And I would love to see him just, when he is playing confident, man, there is a lot to like about Dylan's game. I just hope he can get back and play confident. Josh wants to know if I've ever been to the College World Series. He's from the Omaha area. He goes every year. Great time for baseball fans. Maybe Mizzou will make it soon. Brother, we're just trying to make it to Hoover, Alabama for the SEC tournament before the years in which they make it automatic because they're going to add Texas and Oklahoma and then I think expand the tournament so everybody makes it to Hoover. You know, that's going to be the deal. Mizzou's going to have to get it into gear. Going to have to get it into gear. Spencer wants me to check my air filters. That's probably right. Grichik with the walk-off, is that real? Did Randy G hit one to walk it off? That can't be right. I'm looking this up right now if you guys are fooling with me. Yeah, he sure did. Helping out the Cardinals. Walks it off. Base hit to left. It's a gapper. It's only going to be a single, I assume, but he would have made third. Randall Grichik helping out the Cardinals. How about that? Gibson and Michaelis have been more productive than their ERAs say. That's according to Sammy. Gibby had a decent, and a terrible start. Michaelis has had two goods and two bads. Four out of seven have been solid, pretty good. Yeah. The ones you get beat up in are going to hurt your ERA more, but it doesn't affect any game beyond that one, especially if you're still doing what Gibby did, going six innings. You're not even burning your bullpen that way. Rhino says, in the way, Ray, not affecting play today. Cardinals win the series in the Bay area. That's good. That's a nice little rhyme. And this is the last question that I see right now. Adam Quick, if you've got him. John M., let me answer John's. Do you think Newt will be able to play some center field soon, or are they even willing? Victor and Siani cannot keep taking so many at-bats. Yeah, it's kind of a conversation of, and this is honestly, I wish I would have seen this question earlier, John, because it's kind of the crux of the season in a lot of ways. Do the Cardinals have the gumption to continue doing what they said all offseason they would do in prioritizing defense, or do they start to panic about the lack of offense and say, you need Burleson in there more. You need, Donovan in left and Newpar in center and drop Victor from the lineup or drop Siani from the lineup. Like, is that something that they're going to be willing to do? My thought is we won't see Newt in center unless the offensive woes get so bad that it starts to cause them to lose a bunch of games. Like, if they're getting, let's say Mats goes 7 in shutout and they, they lose 1-0 tomorrow, then it's going to be like, okay, maybe something in the lineup you need to jumpstart it offensively more than what they've done. As long as they're still competitive, I think they want to prioritize defense first. And that's what an example of Siani or Victor in center field is. And that's what Edmund in center was going to be as well, because he plays a good center, not the best of arms, but he has great range and good instincts. And that's going to help the pitching staff. they know that last year they didn't play good enough defense, and they identified that as a problem, and that is part of the reason, I think, that they put the roster together this year to be a little more stable positionally defensively. Just a second. You didn't want to hear that. Y'all didn't want to hear that, so I paused it. No regrets. No regrets. Plante, a high leverage arm. When he misses bad. Yeah, and it's not that they're always using him in high leverage, but he's typically on with when there are runners on base and they're looking for that ground ball. So it is high risk, high reward when it comes to Plante at times. But Brian says the pitching has been so good this year, but if these bats were, they'd be 14-4. Need all the cylinders in this lineup firing at once. Nolan looks to be back in Gold Glove form as well. Yeah, the defense does look pretty solid. The bats are really what you're waiting on. That's it. And the grave of Einstein really is just desperate to know how Sam Roberta fits into the Cardinals right now. If he pitched tonight, I won't have the updated stats here because I'm pulling this up on Baseball Reference. He's got a 2.45 in the first 14 and two-thirds innings that he pitched through three games. 14 Ks and 14 innings. Pretty good. I like Roberta. I like Roberta. He's got a weird little funk to his delivery, too. He's got some je ne sais quoi to his delivery. It was Gritch that walked it off. Yeah. Jake Call says that the pitching stays good and they get the small ball game going. I think this can work, especially since so many teams nowadays prioritize the big one guy hitters and launch angle. Maybe the Cardinals can do it the other way. Yeah, I mean, it only works though, Spence, if they, or who said that? Jake Call, it only works if they continue to have great pitching. And that's a nice thought. It's nice in theory, but if you start giving up multi-run innings and guys aren't getting as deep into games, you'll quickly go, screw the small ball stuff. They need homers to counteract what the other side's doing. Einstein says, the voices in my head are telling me they just traded for John Gray and it'll become official at the deadline. Well, the voices in your head, you might need to unplug for a bit. Unplug for a bit there, Einstein. I like every time I talk to the grave of Einstein, I call him Einstein, and it can almost be like derogatory, like, okay, Einstein, but that's really his username on here. So what am I to do? What's a boy to do? Spencer said, I think they need Burleson in more, need the doubles. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I want to take a quick look at Burleson. I know that Burleson's kind of the whipping boy for a lot of Cardinals fans because he played maybe arguably more and in a higher spot in the lineup a lot of times last year than he perhaps ought to have. But then he came in this year, had a pretty good spring, and was hitting the cover off the ball against Philly, and we haven't seen him for a while. He hasn't started since April 13th. And that wasn't even a start. He came in late in that game. I wonder if he's maybe dealing with something. They're trying to prioritize Herrera and other guys in the lineup, but his numbers were starting to come up a bit. He had five hits in the Philly series, and I wasn't on this road trip, and it's just like that might be a guy that people forget to ask about, reporters, I mean. I wonder if Burley might be having a little bit of an injury thing going on because we haven't seen him even pinch hit in like 4 days. So there you go. Blake, seriously, thank you for saying Roberta correctly. He told us how to say it. Most media members continue to butcher. I think most media members are on board with it now, but it is Sam Roberta. 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 And it's even not like Roberta. It's more like Roberta. The way you say it is the way he said it in the Futures game video that they said, you know, say your country and what your name is. And he said, I'm from the Netherlands. I'm Sam Roberta. And that's his name. So like when these guys are on video saying their name, that's how you know what their name is. And I think part of it, I will say, I'll poke a little bit, poke the bear a bit. John Mozeliak, that video was out there already the day that they traded for him. And Mo got up in front of the microphone and said, well, Sam Roberts. And it's like, well. And actually, I think what happened is, I might be misremembering this, but I think it was Benjamin Hockman that asked about him. And Mo almost kind of corrected Hockman's pronunciation. I think Hockman did it right. And I can't remember if this part is true, but I think he might have asked me before we started, and I told him Roberta. But anyway, I might be making that up. But I remembered Mo did say Roberts, and then I thought, oh, that's not what it is. But that's okay. And by the way, another one that people may know, may not care, but I did ask Pedro Páez how to say his name, and it is Pedro Páez. So just say no, not Pages. But I think sometimes the players that are from different places, they might try to just sort of Englishify their names for people. And I understand why they do that, because they don't want the headache. They're just good dudes that don't, they don't want for you to feel guilty for messing their name up. But it's not, you know, it's not Pages, it's Páez, that sort of thing. We want to get people's names right. That's the main thing. And even too, like, and this can be very difficult with the, not difficult, but time consuming, because I don't know how to do the keyboard shorten things, but like Ivan Herrera has an accent over the A in his first name. Different stuff like that, I think, matters. Korn, the key to a good John Mozeliak impression is to not stay in it for very long. Like, if, don't try to impress anybody by doing a full sentence. Just do like a couple of words, or even just do like, well, like you just kind of, you just do it real quick and then you go out of it. You don't have to clip it off, because I don't want Mo to be mad. Not that he would get mad, but you know, that's what I'm saying. You just got to kind of, you say like a word and a half and then you let it, you drop it off the table. You don't try to do too much. I'm talking like in baseball cliches right now about how to do impressions. You don't want to do too much. You don't want to try too hard. Aaron says Lynn and Mass can be decent number threes. Miles can, but hasn't gotten much run support. Gibson was always a five, and they do need another high-end guy. Probably another bullpen piece, but need to hit or it's not going to matter. Yeah, Aaron, that's a pretty good way to, I think, to kind of map it all out. And in Blake, in defense of Mo, there were a lot of things that he was doing that day. He was making a lot of trades, so getting Sam Roberts' name pronounced right was maybe not the highest thing on the list, but, you know, I get it. Sweet Residue is talking about Mike Shannon butchering some names, but you know what? Mike Shannon could do anything he wants. That man is a legend, is a legend, is a legend. I honestly loved listening to when he would be like saying the name of an opponent later in his career, and you just knew he's never seen that guy's name before, and so he would just like freaking go for it. He didn't care, which is just like awesome. That's hilarious to me. All right, folks, we're at an hour 15. You guys have been fantastic. Bernie on 590 kills the Mo impersonation. He keeps it short and sweet. Yeah, Brian, you got to keep it short. Short spurts. Don't try to do too much. Do not put the clip on his desk, Korn. You're my guy, but don't lose my faith here. We did get to 60 likes. Try to get it to 69 before you guys log out here. I'm going to head on out. Why 69? I don't know. Make it 70. Who cares? You guys have been a lot of fun. Thank y'all for the support tonight. Thank you for the super chatters. You guys have been great. If you missed anything, this will be live replay available on YouTube, and I'll also post the audio-only version on YouTube and the B-Shape Daily Spotify feed. That's going to do it for this edition of the show tonight. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next time on B-Shape Daily and B-Shape Daily Live. Peace!